Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Steve, this is Kurt Fallon of Virginia. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
How's the weather out there?
Low 60s. We had a lot of rain, but it's pretty pleasant. Can't complain yet, so. I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for that. But.
Oh, yes.
Did you get a lot of those heavy storms coming through, or did that just go south of you mostly?
No, we have gotten a lot of rain. Going back to early September, we got 15, 16 inches and in
no kidding,
weeks.
My goodness.
We've got 2 inches this week, and then. Go a week ago Sunday, 3-6. Guys, they're digging pitches in the field.
If it keeps it up with the cold weather, you better get 2 snow blowers instead of 1.
Oh, my.
Sounds like it could be a snowy winter. Wow.
Yeah. But guys are getting frustrated, and I'm starting to see some corn going down. And
oh, yeah. Bad timing. Mm.
Oh, my.
Mm-mm.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Steve. It's Sheila. How you doing? Sheila Simmons.
Doing good. How are you?
Real good.
Survived Colorado?
Yeah. I spent an extra day, ran up to Estes Park and because of the elk run and everything. So that was fun.
How much snow you run into?
Pardon me?
How much snow did you run into?
Not that much. They had closed the one road. So it was like just a couple of inches is all. So it wasn't bad at all.
Okay.
They do have really strict, I mean, they closed a lot of the roads in the park. I think just because you have a lot of people who don't drive in snow.
Yeah.
There, so yeah.
Yeah.
But it's sunny and in the 70s again here. We had a cold spell, so but it's back to summer here.
Well, we're upper 60s right now, cloudy. We've gotten 2 inches of rain in the last 3 days.
Yeah, we had a really wet weekend.
Hello.
Hello, Chuck here.
Hello there. Good afternoon.
It's John Zeller.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Is your veteran friend going to be on?
I can't tell you, but I sent them the message as soon as you got back with me, Steve. I sent the message over to them. I'm not sure if they're going to be on or not.
Okay. He might be able to give us insight if he is.
Okay.
Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Yes, we are. Who is this?
Steve, it's Sandra Stevenson, Oklahoma.
Hi, stranger.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How about you?
Oh, it's fabulous.
Good.
Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hey, it's Rick out in Wyoming.
Hi, Rick.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, doing good. Sitting out in the middle of nowhere at a rest stop, joining the conference here.
You're where the rest of us wish we were then.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, there's a lot of nowhere out here in Wyoming.
Right.
I appreciate you lighting up this call, Steve, because I sure wasn't coming up with any ideas.
Well, I struggled a little bit, and then the more I thought about Cindy coming on, that
yeah,
I think I've got a list about 2 pages long of things I'm looking from her and give us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's going to be a good addition to the program, to AgriMility.
Oh yes, I'm tickled to death. Got to know her. We traveled together out to Colorado for the training. And
did you?
So had some good visits.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll
I
have another training.
What's that?
We'll wait another couple minutes and then we'll get started.
Okay. So it sounds like that was a good training out in Colorado.
It was. It was.
Yeah, sorry, I missed that. That was
41 of us and a lot of good information.
Yeah.
Had a good mix of attendees also.
Good.
I am recording this so we'll be able to archive it and let's go ahead and get started, and I appreciate everybody coming on. We want to talk about some of our outreach with veterans and some of the resources that we have been using and have available, and then, as I say, we're recording this conference call. I know that Cindy would like your feedback on what you would like, what you might expect from her, what would help you, and some of the resources that we might have on a page on the National AgriMility website. So if you have questions as we go along, feel free to ask. I trust that each of you have seen that we have hired an AgriMility veteran coordinator. Press release has gone out. Been with us for about 6 weeks. Cindy Chastain, the 31-year Army veteran, Army National Guard, retired as a colonel. He was, a lot of her time was spent in human resources. So she knows the system. She spent 15 months on active duty in Afghanistan. There were a number of agribusiness teams that went over. She was on one of the teams from Indiana, and you heard her on the all staff call, and I hope you saw some of the slides that she had. I asked her to if she could be on the call with us today, and she said she had an appointment with I think it was the director of the Veterans Administration for Indiana. So I said that's more important than what our conference call is today. So Cindy is on. One of the partners for the National Project, unfunded partners, is Farmer Veteran Coalition, and we've been working with them a lot. Michael O'Gorman has been to National Workshop and virtual NTW. He is the founder of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. And if you're not aware, there's going to be a stakeholders conference November 14th and 15th. I am sure that you would be more than welcome to attend. All the information is on the Farmer Veteran Coalition website. Dr. Field is on their advisory board, and so he's going to be there, and Cindy's going to be speaking there also.
Steve, what is the advantage for an agribility program to join Farm Vetco as a member?
We brought Farm Veteran Coalition on as a way to reach out to veterans.
Uh-huh.
Now, they serve all veterans, not just veterans with disabilities.
I got you.
Let me throw another part of it in to go along with the Farmer Veteran Coalition. We were contacted, actually the state project was contacted by USDA to participate in a pilot project as an awareness and outreach program to reach out to veterans. So one of the partners in that is the Farmer Veteran Coalition. Ability One, American Legion, we had Source America, NIFA, Rural Development Farm Service Agency. So all this together, we were brought in coalition because of our outreach and our work with farmers with disabilities. One of the things that Veterans Administration was part of this also. And we have been told by some of our contacts with the Veterans Administration that they are encouraging veterans, whether they have a farming background or not, to move into farming. The reason being, it is a type of therapy, for one thing. And Michael O'Gorman has is approaching it also as a way to bring younger farmers in. Average farmer's 58, but I think we know that because of the age of our clients, and it is very difficult to get into farming. So with that, with those dynamics, that's part of how we got with Farmer Veteran Coalition. And then in this project with USDA, getting information out to veterans, and they put a website up. It's ru2a.org, returning veterans to agriculture, and have put some resources up there. John, or if I danced around it.
No, I got it. That sounds good. I mean, I wanted it because I said that we should join in Ohio, and they're saying, what's the benefits? And I just took some notes of what you're saying, and yeah, I'll use them. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for the question. There's a number of resources that have come up through this pilot project, and you go to the Farmer Veteran Coalition website and go to the bottom of the page, the home page, under resources. You'll find a Veteran Careers in Agriculture resource guide. And there's a lot of listings in there, a lot of websites, a lot of contacts with that. They have seen, or USDA has seen, I guess part of it's come from Congress last winter, but have seen better results, I guess you would say, from this pilot project quicker than they anticipated. And so if it hasn't gone nationwide, it will be here shortly. But it's just a way of the USDA addressing some of the veteran concerns and unemployment of veterans. So when you go to that website, there are a number of resources. There is a Veterans Agricultural Resource Guide, which and gives some resources. It talks about different job possibilities, careers, address farming and forestry and related occupations, ag and food science technicians, processing, slaughter and meat packing, farming and ranching, and other resources. And we are also included Staggerability as a resource off this website. And we've taken some calls looking for information from the website. I don't know whether whether you've looked at the USD website or have followed the new farm bill. There has been line items for veterans in the new farm bill. Under socially disadvantaged farmers and beginning farming. So they have taken some microloans in the beginning farming section and increased the dollars available. They went from $35,000 up to $50,000. And probably the biggest thing that has been done is they've addressed eligibility requirements. Before, they were looking for some experience in farming, where you had worked on a farm or whatever, and now they're saying farm-related experience. So that could mean, okay, work for a farm business. It could also mean that, okay, you've been in leadership positions while in the military, or advanced education in agriculture. Now, that doesn't mean that they can just walk in and they're going to give them $50,000, but it makes it easier than it was before. And then there are also, there is a beginning farmer or new farmer web page on the USDA website that goes through and walks people through the process of starting farming. There's six areas. First is getting started, and that's gathering information and what does it take. There is a session on education and assistance, which refers them to the Returning Veterans Agriculture website. It also refers to AgriBility as a resource. So don't be surprised if you don't get contacts through that. And then it looks at access to land and capital, managing risk, permit, and expanding the business, resources and tools. Questions, comments?
It's significant that veterans have been placed with the socially disadvantaged, and I sent you a highlight thing, Steve. Set some of the points. But I've met with a couple of veterans who have called me as a result of the USD outreach in the past 2 weeks, and there's definitely been action as a result of some of the things that are taking place in Ohio.
Good. Well, I am finding in the calls that I get and the visits, I'm having more veterans identify themselves. And I know I've got veteran clients that have not identified themselves. Having grown up, show my age, growing up during the end of Vietnam, we know that was not a good situation, and veterans at that time just wanted to end. And so I've had Vietnam veterans identify themselves. And I had a gentleman contact me, and we don't think about it, and he was in the Coast Guard. We would think, okay, he's just navigating waterways around the United States, but he was in Special Forces and spent 10 years in Colombia dealing with the drug cartel. And one of the most serious cases of post-traumatic stress that I've come across. So I think we're going to have more contacts, different situations come up. We want to remember that one of the vocational rehabilitation is also a resource for us. I've had a couple of veterans I've worked with who were working with both civilian VR and Veterans Administration VR Chapter 31 at the same time. This was on starting a business. I'll be honest with you, relationship with the VA has been almost non-existent.
One-sided.
Very much. We have met with the state director and one of the counselors offering services and been told, yeah, we'd like your services, and we don't care what it costs, and never to be heard from again.
Right. I just want to say, though, right there, we had the first referral about 10 days ago in Ohio, directly from the VA.
Okay. And what were they, what was the referral, and what kind of services were they looking for?
The gentleman is out in Brown County. They don't really have a way to get out to him, one. And two, they found out about agribility at a job fair, and they thought, well, if they're doing farming, we could ask them to go out there, and they did.
Okay.
And I met with the guy 2 days ago so I could talk about it here. And, you know, he's looking for some of the exact programs you're talking about. And, you know, we gave given them something to him, but it was good to get a referral for sure.
Sure, sure. So we've, as I say, Cindy is, she's already gotten a couple of calls, and we've got a visit scheduled for next week, and we'll see where that goes. But
is there a reason for us to, you know, send you the people that do come in as veterans so that you can accumulate that information on the national level?
I think we need to, when we do our demographics, they will identify them.
Okay.
I think part of it with the unemployment and all the issues that have come up from veterans coming back, USDA has put an emphasis on veterans. I don't need to know who you're serving, but I think we need to keep track of it, if nothing else, demographics. We've been told that if we have a veteran call us, contact us, and they don't have a disability rating, to go ahead and provide services. What I'm thinking is going to happen is we're probably going to be working on a team, working with them. We've got a couple of ladies, both veterans, served in the Middle East, have had some, both of them have a disability rating, and they're starting a farm, and they are looking at doing some training, having veterans come in. I think it's a week-long training they're looking at. They've obtained a grant to support it, and we're going to be part of the training that week. We're going to talk about disability, what agribility can do, the resources we have. We're going to look at business planning. We're going to look at assistive technology on the farm. And I think that's one area where I think we're gonna fit in. There are some farms that are looking to do some beginning farming and give them a break on rent and equipment and so forth to get them started. My mind isn't coming up with the name of it, but we seem to be seeing a lot of these type of programs. I know Farmer Veteran Coalition is trying to foster some of this and provide some resources to help it happen. One of the big issues that I'm seeing is, you know, acquiring assets, you know, getting some land. And so, you know, we're involved in one of those projects, but I think we've got to be willing to pass off some of that responsibility and know where we can fit in and make a difference, not get out of our area of expertise. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep.
So, Steve, what's a good way to locate veterans that might benefit from these services? You mentioned that now that we have some, maybe getting some referrals to agribility, does it help to go do like presentations at like VA hospitals or VA outreach centers, VFW? How do you go about locating the veterans in the state that may benefit from the services?
I'll be very honest with you. That's what I'm trying to learn.
Yeah.
I know that there are veteran county coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And John was talking about has been working with. providing them information. I think we've done maybe a little bit of mailing. I've seen when we had our Veterans and Agriculture Workshop a couple years ago or so, had two or three of them come to the workshop. I know that there was an article in our local newspaper about service organizations, and VFW was one that was mentioned, that are losing membership, not having the younger business people, veterans, join. They're having trouble locating them also. I think the county coordinators should know in the county. So
and I suppose there's a privacy thing too, where you can't just go somewhere and get a list of all the veterans in the county.
HIPAA applies to them also.
Yeah.
We have a military family institute here that works with families, military families. We've had a relationship with them, attended some of their workshops and symposiums. We've got a 4-H program that works with military kids. And I talked to a gentleman with them last night. And they can't go directly and get names and so forth because of privacy. So
that's correct. The VA had this gentleman get in touch with me. That's correct.
Yep.
What you're saying there. And many states have their own count. Each county has an outreach that is a function of the state, and it's not federally driven.
Right. You've got the Paralyzed Veterans of America. I know we had a, I think he was a national officer, one of our independent living centers. That's some of those resources are drying up, and so identifying them.
Steve, one of the ones that I just happened on, there is a veterans contact with Workforce One.
Right.
And he's helped me get into a couple of groups to talk to.
Okay. I know I think we've done some mailing those people. I've talked to a couple, three of them myself. Other contact means that they've used. Hey, I'm going to throw a question out to you guys now. What do you want to see on a veteran resource page, actual project that you could link to full resources for your projects?
Well, I think that one of the things that could be really critical is the business plan aspect of it, because two of the young men that I've met with seem to be high energy and low business plan, if you will, and they're all for doing it, but they don't know where their market is, et cetera. So the business plan outreach, I think, would be huge.
Okay.
Steve, this is Sandra in Oklahoma, and in my new role with the Small Business Development Centers, which are across the nation, in developing business plans and tweaking them, creating them, helping businesses get started or expand or grow or export or exit, I've learned those centers are quite helpful. And I'm not sure who it was that commented, you know, where the market is and where to go in it. Oftentimes they have subscriptions that they've paid for that their clients would, like my clients can access that through me. And there's like Fintel and Ibis World and GIS and thousands of dollars, like hundreds of thousands of dollars that our clients have access to at no charge typically. And if there is, it's very low. And so for the market development and target markets, we can plot. We can do gap analysis. It's quite amazing the information and the data that's available. So if I can help in those endeavors or connect people to the development centers or help AgriBility in that way, I think there's a lot of opportunity there.
Okay. Let me ask you, because I've run across our small business development centers. They'll do some guidance, counseling, but as far as helping develop the business plan itself, limited themselves on how much actual help they will give individual business plan.
I would say that it would be on a very individual basis. I know for me personally, I like the client, whether they're, you know, whomever, whatever, doing whatever business venture, they have to have a little skin in the game. So I kind of make homework assignments and chunks of the business plan, and then they need to go complete it and accomplish it and bring it back, and then we tackle the next project or assignment. If I were to just write it and crank it out for them, I don't feel that that's it's their business. I'm not going to go run their business for them. So that may be some of the take, I guess, from other directors across the states, maybe. But, I mean, we are for the actual individual business owner and targeting small businesses at that.
Well, the reason I say that, and it could very well be state-specific. What you're talking about, you're doing, is a step beyond what our state, at least, is telling the centers to do.
Okay.
I'm like you do. They've got to write it. I'll help wordsmith it and ask questions. It's got to be them doing it and
sure,
their business plan.
But that's like the first step, really. If they're not, skin in the game is very important, what you said there.
I agree.
Yes.
And if they don't make that their first step, then they've taken the wrong first step.
Correct. I work with a lot of clients. I mean, it's almost like the cart is in front of the horse, not quite behind it. That a lot of that pre-planning and you know, laying that good solid foundation for their business to launch hasn't occurred, and so they're typically in a state of crisis or about to be, because they haven't built a strong foundation to build their business on, if that makes good sense. And so we do a lot of, let's just hold on for a second where we are and let's backtrack just a little bit and get things in place, and then we can move forward. So anyway, there's opportunity, and if I can help, however, I will.
So I will ask you, what else do you want to see?
Well, you know, a list of all the different resources that they could go to, websites and everything else, you know, you start sending those into you, and you can decide which ones you think should be on there, but a list of all those resources would be great.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Kirk in Virginia. It's the same way, and also some success stories of how things worked and just various things that allow us to really sort of understand other people's experiences.
Kirk, on that note, this is Sandra in Oklahoma again, but if there could be like a peer-to-peer or a veteran-to-veteran, I don't know, mentor or... Yeah, I mean, I don't know the right words to use and not be confused with other initiatives or efforts, but instead of, I mean, I kind of like it where they have, again, that skin in the game or the buy-in, and it's those success stories, maybe those leaders and champions that have worked with AgriBility and done great things, kind of mentor younger ones coming in or some that are troubled, you know, have some challenges, or connecting them with each other, I guess, is what I'd like to see.
This is John in Ohio. That's the first thing I started doing, is connecting those guys to each other. It is.
Absolutely.
Because they've got a mindset that has a consistency, and they've been through some of the same things. So the first thing I said, I get their permission to connect them to one another, and that they do enjoy it, and it works. That definitely does work. And the fact of a mentor, if these young men, not of all are young, but if they can get a real mentor who's really in agriculture, it's invaluable.
I agree. I mean, they could really be true, like, champions on many levels.
Steve, there's another question I have to ask, because you talked about reaching out to veterans who wanted to get into farming, whether they had the exact D diagnosis that you might expect to have on some of the paperwork. I'm working with East End Memorial Garden, and Joe C. is a veteran, and the Cincinnati VA brings people down there to work in his raised beds just for therapy. But the state, you know, Ohio AgriBility doesn't really think that's in my work description, if you will.
Well, I think we've got to, whoever's access for information, we need to provide it. And if we need to refer somebody, okay. I think what it might be an initial visit, see what they're thinking, and then move from there. I think the thing that we've got to be careful of, and I think you've seen a response I had to that question before. We want to reach out to all veterans, but not ignore non-veterans. Because if we look at numbers, that's going to be even USDA putting an emphasis on its numbers is going to be limited basis. So allocation of our time, I think, is what we're talking about also. Does that make sense, John?
Sure it does.
I think we also think there's also stages where they're maybe they need to do the work in those raised beds for the therapeutic effect, where they can work on the reintegration time on down the road. Maybe we're coming in to give them some guidance to move beyond that.
Well, and that's what Joe C. wants to do. He wants to start training them to grow their own food. I mean, that's really his intent.
Mm-hmm.
His intent is for them to learn to grow their own food.
Right. And I think we can provide some support, but I guess I'm being specific here. We can't hold their hand all the time. As Sanders says, there's got to be some skin in the game from them also.
Yep.
What else would you like to see on the page?
There are some interesting USDA specifics, like ground is currently in conservation and going to come out of conservation. The farmer can get the money right now if they'll like lease that to a veteran. You know, some of those very, you know, sort of detailed, it's hard to find specifics like that, but may be very interesting to find that on there. I mean, there's some stuff that the USDA is doing that's really a little hard to find.
Well, what... A Farm Service Agency offices.
Yeah.
You know, what
for instance,
I think what
like,
you're
like
about to transfer of land.
It says funds the transition incentive program that gives owners with land coming out of the Conservation Reserve Program additional CRP payments if they lease or sell the land to a veteran farmer.
Uh-huh.
Veterans are supposed to get the lead on the EQIP lending, right along with socially disadvantaged people. So they should be at the head of the class when it comes to the evaluation process.
Well, they have moved them. And there's some line item dollars for veterans.
Yeah, so I'm just saying I can see listing those just outright so they can see the menu right away.
Okay. Sandra, do small business development centers have any specific programs for veterans or?
Yes. Certain, like in Oklahoma, we have, I mean, there's 9 regional directors. There's 9 of me, but we have offices all over the state of Oklahoma, typically housed in, like at the Russo universities, Russo schools. And like in Oklahoma, there's Tinker Air Force Base that's located in Midwest City, Oklahoma, and our Small Business Development Center that's housed at the university, Rose State, close there. They have targeted trainings, counselors to work specifically with veterans. I'm in Ada, Oklahoma, and there's obviously not a military base close, but we have a lot of students enrolled in our university that have either currently in the military or, you know, are returned from active duty that are looking, you know, they're in school and they're trying to figure out if they want, you know, to own their own business someday, what they want to do. So different pockets, I guess, across the state are going to focus more on that. There's Boots to Basics. That's a training that targets specifically veterans in kind of a basic training for business and owning your own business.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think there's quite a bit, you know, that could be resources for them.
Okay.
Steve, this is Sandra again, but it would be kind of neat to maybe create our own something specifically for veterans in agriculture. Maybe we take best practices across the nation and tweak it and produce something that's got our stamp and our brand on it.
Okay.
I know it's not that easy, but, I mean, that might be something that we work toward. Did everyone just hang up?
No. But the small business development centers, I just pulled it up in Ohio. That's significant. I've never seen it before.
Right? So yeah, I wish when I still worked for AgriBility, I would have known this resource existed. So I think there's opportunity all over.
Well, we've worked with small business development centers here in Indiana. There's a lot of them. The directors are on the review committee for VR small business enterprise programs, looking at business plans.
I'm on our network right now, and one of the things you asked if we work specifically with veterans, and we're targeted small businesses just across the board, and that's 500 or less, 499 employees would classify you as a small business, according to the SBA. And so we also focus on, women-owned businesses, lower socioeconomic. We collect data specifically if you are a veteran, what your military status is, of course, the normal demographics, but that's a pretty I hate to say hot topic, hot area, but we certainly want to take care of them very much, and it's important to our network.
Right. Big focus.
Right.
Steve, when veterans maybe access our website, well, they may initially get on for information on veterans and veteran resources and farming. Maybe will they have a way to know how to be redirected back to local contacts, like who to contact in their state that would be connected with AgriBility, or maybe even veteran VA hospital contacts, things like that? Will they have a way to know how to find a person, a live person to talk to?
There will be contact. There'll be links to be able to link to states. And
okay.
I know the calls that I get, I'm referring them to the states. I won't say I'm not providing services, but I'd rather them do face-to-face in their state than phone with me.
Yeah.
So,
I know on the website it's got all the state contacts. I guess what I'm thinking is once they get into the information on veteran resources, I assume that there will also be maybe on the side panel linked to state contacts or something like that.
There will be.
Yeah, okay.
There will be.
You could have a place for peers to talk to each other through your website, for sure. I think developing a mentor program is difficult because mentoring almost happens, not by accident so much, that happens because the relationship's there. It's hard to develop a mentoring program.
It is. It's difficult. It's like we've looked at peer support programs for years, and it's difficult to get that done.
This is Sandra, and I agree that is difficult, but I think if a platform is provided of opportunity for them to naturally develop that on their own,
right,
would probably be one, more effective, and two, less liability. Less of a, like, to have the peer support, you know, is still kind of playing out. But if it's, if we got, provide the information, or, right? I mean, here's opportunity, and if you want to take it and run with it, do it. That could develop naturally into those mentoring type situations.
Well, I know the Farmer Veteran Coalition. They've got a map as contacts in each state to do some of that mentoring. So anything else? It's going to be an ongoing process. And it's going to be a, I don't want to say painful, but it isn't going to be easy to get all this together and make it work. One of the things that I found, and why I'm so glad Cindy is with us now, is I don't speak military, and she does, and that makes a difference.
Yes, sir, it does. She was very good at the Ohio Agribility, the Farm Science Review. She did an excellent job, Steve.
Good, good.
Very approachable, easy to talk to. So, you know, she did a great job.
Good. Well, she's gonna. If you have some, I don't know the extent to what she'll be doing, but if you've got a question or want to talk to her, or you know, I know there's funding for her to do some traveling. So feel free to get in contact with her. You can either go through the toll-free number, or if you want to go direct. I've her direct phone number. If you want that, do you want it, or do you want to go through me on that toll-free number?
Either way. That's up to you. I don't, either way.
Let me give you her direct line, and then 765-496-377.
Could you say that again? Kind of cut out a little bit.
765-496-2377.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
My guess is that she's going to be kind of like I was when we started, feeling her way, trying to figure out just exactly what the job description really entails. I asked Dr. Field one time what my job description was, and he told me to write it. So that seems to be the way we kind of work in some situations. So I think Cindy's open to how she might be able to help, and when time gets to be a issue, then I have to get more picky on what she does. At this time, veteran-wise, she's open. Any other questions, comments? Been going for an hour, and I appreciate the comments and questions, and I hope we've, if nothing else, provided some information for you.
We definitely did.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Take care.